Can turn again, please, to Psalm number 145, David's Psalm of Praise. I'd like to consider several parts of this psalm this evening, I suppose especially in our context when we're praying for the Lord's provision in this year. Verses 15 and 16 are very appropriate. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. What I want us to see, especially in this psalm, is both the beauty and also the bounty of God. The word bounty, children, is maybe not a word we use so often. It's simply a word that speaks of how much God gives. If someone is bountiful, then they're giving you a lot of good things. And God is beautiful, and he's also bountiful. He's the God who gives. He gives meat to all in due season. And, you know, often when you think, say, of beauty, you might know that, you know, the expression, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, you go down to an art gallery and you see things that some people call art, and you think, I don't see any beauty here. You know, but someone else comes along and says, no, I think this is very beautiful. And, well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It might be beautiful to you and not beautiful to someone else, or vice versa. That's not true of God. It's not whether we think he's beautiful or not. God is beautiful, whether we see it or not. He is the source of all beauty. So David's saying, Lord, this is my desire in life. I want to see the beauty of the Lord, Psalm 27, verse 4. Moses doesn't just say in Psalm 90, I want to see the beauty of the Lord. Remember, he prays at the end of the psalm, I want that beauty to be upon us, upon me and upon our children. So the Lord is beautiful, and the Lord is full of bounty. The Lord is a very giving God. Nobody is as bountiful, nobody is as giving as God is. David says in Psalm 40, you know, if I could count the hairs of my head, the blessings God gives are so much more. And you think of how difficult it would be to count the hairs of your head. You know, how would you count how many hairs you have on your head? That's the point. You can't do it. There's just so many of them. But he's saying the bounty of God, the blessings of God are so much more than the hairs upon your head. And in all of this, David is saying in this psalm, when you see the beauty of God and the bounty of God, we should be praising God. And as we call upon God for provision, for work, for labor, for food, for drink, for our daily provision this life, in this year, we should be praising God for, like David is here, for all his beauty and bounty. So let's begin here by noticing that we see the beauty and the bounty of God in the created world around us. We see the beauty and the bounty of God in the created world around us. You have that in what David says in verse 1 and 2, he speaks about God's name. So verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name. Now, the name of God is not just, like, you know, I'm Pastor Ian, that's my name, this is who I am. No, when God's telling you his name, it's saying, God is saying, not just this is how you can identify me, this is who I am. And God shows us his name in the world around us. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 8, verse 1, how excellent is your name in all the earth. All the earth around us is showing us something of the beauty of the Lord our God. And so, when we see beauty in the world around us, we should start thinking about the beauty of the God who made the world. We should say, well, the reason there is so much beauty outside all around us, the reason must be that the God who made this beautiful world is himself unbelievably, gloriously beautiful. If the mountains in British Columbia look so amazing and strong, then how amazing and how strong is the God who made them? If the rivers and the plants and the flowers and the birds are all so beautiful, how much more is the God who made these birds and rivers and flowers? If we see also as we look out, and we can't not see this when we look at the world around us, and we look out and we see order and design, then we should say, well, how good and how wise and how powerful, how orderly is this God who made such a beautiful and orderly world. When we, you know, now we've had winter, we're into springtime, and summer is it's on its way, it's coming, and we, but we see again the different seasons, don't we? And you, when we see that, when we see the flowers starting to come out and the leaves and the trees starting to come, you're seeing design, you're seeing order. And when you see this, you should be thinking, well, what a God who made this. And then you think, okay, you know, we get food from the store, you know, or we just expect food to be on the table, but how does the food get there? It gets there because the God of order has so ordered things, as he says in Genesis chapter 8, while the earth is here, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The reason we keep having this cycle of seasons is because this is the God, because God has made it that way. And so again, you're looking at the world around you and you're seeing the name of God in it. That's what David does in Psalm 8. How excellent in all the earth, O Lord, our Lord, is your name. And then what does he start speaking about? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, everything that passes through. How excellent, he says, in all the earth, Lord, our Lord, is your name. When I was applying for a job in Edinburgh, Scotland, to be a math teacher in a school there, they gave me a lesson to teach. So they say, here's the lesson to teach. Now, I had taught math already, so I was expecting, you know, fractions or multiplication or telling the time or, you know, something, or something, Pythagoras theorem or something like this. But what I got was this, like, teach the golden ratio. So I was like, no problem, I can do that. I was like, what's the golden ratio? I've never heard of the golden ratio. So I you know, have to do some studying on it to work out what it is. Well, the golden ratio is what many people will say is the most beautiful number, or the most beautiful ratio. So you measure the length of something and you divide it by the shorter, and the number that comes out is 1.6, something like that, 1.618. And this is supposedly the most aesthetically pleasing, which just means the most beautiful ratio. Now, here's the thing. This ratio is everywhere. It's in, you can see it in architecture. The Greeks used it in the Parthenon in Athens. Leonardo da Vinci used it in the Mona Lisa, that famous painting. It's in music, the number of black to white keys in a piano is roughly 1 to 1.6. The number of male in nature, the number of male to female honeybees is 1 to 1.6. The same in plants and flowers, the number of petals and that kind of thing ends up being 1 to 1.6. It's in the hurricanes. The way the hurricanes swirl and move roughly has this ratio. Some people say it was in Noah's Ark and in the Ark of the Covenant inside the tabernacle. And in all of this, you're saying, this is stunningly beautiful. How excellent is this name? All around us, there's this order, there's this design, and back to the seasons and the seed time and the harvest. God is the one who's ordered this. And so as we're singing and as we're reading and as we're preaching and praying, the eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord. Why? Because the God of order is giving, he's the one who's giving them their meat in due season. There's the order. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. So the name of God there tells us this God is so beautiful, this God is so giving, so bountiful. But this psalm also tells us about the beauty and the bounty of God in his people. So it's not just world out there, it's also in his people. Now, you can think about that physically, you know, your own bodies and the order and the design. And guess what? The golden ratio, 1 to 1.6, is all over the human body. It's all over the human body. The length of your arm divided by your elbow to the end, roughly 1 to 1.6. The same with the length of your hand to the finger, the same in your finger, the length of your finger to the knuckle. Right, your knuckle's not right in the middle of your finger. It's a little to the one side. It's all over the human body. The way that the ratio at which the sound waves go into the ear, roughly 1 to 1.6. The ratio of the heart beating, roughly 1 to 1.6. There is an order and there is a beauty in the human body. And as Jonathan Edwards often spoke about the beauty of God, he said that when we see the beauty of man's body in its perfection, we're seeing something. This is what we should be thinking when we see the beauty of the human body. We should be saying, how beautiful must Jesus Christ be, the perfect man. Now, of course, Edwards goes on and says, and the Bible goes on and says, it's not just physical beauty, but there's a spiritual beauty as well. That there is a 1 to 1.6 spiritually, as it were. And that's where you see real beauty. Martin Luther said, there's nothing more beautiful in this world than the heart of a woman in which godliness dwells. There's nothing more beautiful in this world than the heart of a woman in which godliness dwells. Think of Psalm 45, right? In Psalm 45, the Lord is saying, daughter of Tyre, you know, up there, Tyre. Tyre is all about beauty, right? They're all about selling and trading and affluence. And it's saying, daughter of Tyre, forget this. Forget your own people. Come to this king, the Lord Jesus, or King David, or David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. Come to him, and then you'll have real beauty. Verse 13, behold, the daughter of the king is all glorious within. And what she wears is a robe of needlework, golden, beautiful, majestic. There is the real beauty, the spiritual beauty. And you see that here in this psalm. I mean, what David is doing here, what God's people are doing when they join David here is beautiful. People are beautiful in the eyes of God when they come by his grace to worship him. I suppose if you think of a Think of a car that doesn't work. Right? A car that doesn't work. It's just the engine's not working. Now, you might look at the outside of the car and think, oh, that looks like a really nice car. But if it doesn't work, if it doesn't take you from A to B, then is it really beautiful to you? Is it, you know, there's something wrong with the car. But a person who's created in God's image and is not worshiping God, it's like this sort of broken down car. It's a lot worse than that, of course. But you were created to go in this direction from A to B, from towards God, worshiping God. That's what you were created to be. And when a person doesn't worship God, doesn't want to worship God, there's something wrong. But when a person suddenly begins to look to God and cry out to God, and Lord, our eyes are upon you, we're looking to you, suddenly there's beauty there. And the person is now doing what they were created to do. And that's what you see all through this psalm. Here is David, not perfectly, of course, but nevertheless, doing what he was created to do. Verse 1, he's extolling God. He's blessing God's name. Verse 2, again, he's praising God's name. Verse 4, he's praising and declaring God's works. In verse 5, he says, I'm speaking of the glorious honor of your majesty. In verse 6, he's speaking about God's acts and God's greatness. Verse 7, he's abundantly uttering his great goodness. You know, all this whole psalm is somebody going towards God, worshiping God, crying out to God, praising God, glorifying God. How great thou art, how great you are, O God. That's what you're created to do. And when you see that, you see beauty and you see order, and all of it is saying, it's not saying, look at how great we are. Look at how great our worship is. No, no, no. Look at how great he is. Look at how worthy he is. That's what David says in verse 8, the Lord is gracious. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger. He's of great mercy. The Lord is good to everyone. He's good to all. And his tender mercies, they're above all his works. Verse 18, he's the God who's near. Isn't that precious? He's the God who's near to those who call upon him. You're in trouble. You're in difficulty. You've broken down spiritually and you realize it. And you call out to him and he's near to you. And he's coming and he's helping. How? What's he doing when he comes and he helps? He's fulfilling the desire of those who fear him. He's showing them his beauty. But it's the beauty of salvation. Look at the end of verse 19. He will hear their cry and what? And will save them. And will save them. And when he saves them, the God of majestic beauty is the God who beautifies the people. Psalm 149, verse 4 says, the Lord will beautify, he will make beautiful the meek with his salvation. He makes a people beautiful. He makes a people worshipful. And that is a beauty that lasts forever. One day the sun won't shine here. One day the stars will be gone. And the beauty of the stars, the beauty of the heavens will be gone. There will be no more 1 to 1.6 in the world around us. It will wrap up like a scroll. But here's a beauty that will never go away. Look again at verse 1, well, the first and the last verse of this psalm. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for as long as I live. No, forever and forever. And then the last verse, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. If you want a beauty that will never end, then you cry out to this God for his wonderful salvation. And when you see this beauty again in the people of God, you see something of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the disciples of the disciples in the Acts of the Apostles, the people took knowledge of them. They said, we recognize this. We've seen this before. They're reminding us of Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus Christ. That would be a beautiful thing, wouldn't it? If people would see you in your life and me in my life, and they would say, this person reminds me of someone or something I've heard. It's something about the Bible and Jesus Christ. There's a beauty in this person. Oh, how beautiful then must Jesus Christ be. Now, I do want to notice one last thing here in this psalm, and it's an important lesson. God, we're told, is good and he's kind to all. So it doesn't say here, you know, he gives the meat to the Christian. No, he's giving his meat to all. He's giving the rain, he's giving the seasons, he's giving the 1 to 1.6 in our bodies, in our listening, in our seeing. He's giving this to everybody. He's good in that sense to everybody. He is good to all. The eyes of everyone of all things are waiting on him. What does that mean for us? Should we not then, like him, have a desire to be good to others? To point others to the beauty and the bounty of the God of salvation. To have a prayer, the prayer of this psalm, let people praise thee, Lord, let people all thee praise. Verse 11 and 12 is very evangelistic, isn't it? They shall speak. This people that have seen the beauty of the king, this people who have been beautified by the king, they shall speak. They shall speak. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and they will talk of thy power. Why? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. They're going to say, you need to see this. You need to get your eyes beyond the 1 to 1.6 of the created world around you, the created world inside you, and you need to see the Creator. And you need to see his perfect beauty and his perfect salvation for sinners. Again, the end of the psalm, verse 21, listen again to David here, the last line, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. So this psalm is teaching us that the great beauty and the great bounty of this God should lead us to praise and confess this God who is good to all. There was an old man one time dying in Scotland, and he was dying in the West Coast, which is notoriously beautiful. And he was looking out to the hills of Argyll, and it is a very stunningly beautiful place, Argyll. And he said as he was dying, isn't this world that God made so beautiful? But what was really beautiful to me in this world is that I found Jesus Christ in it. What's really beautiful about this world is that I found Jesus Christ in it. And you know, the sad thing is that there's so many people, not just out there, but also in churches. And as Isaiah says, they don't see beauty in Jesus Christ. Now, that's not because he's not beautiful. It's because they're blind. And we need to say, Lord, open their eyes so that they would see the really beautiful one. Remember how the Song of Solomon says it? His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether beautiful. The 17th century English poet George Herbert, in a poem, speaks of Christ in his bloody death that was undeserved. You think, what beauty is there in the death of Christ? But he speaks of this bloody death and undeserved, and then he adds of Christ, thou art my loveliness, my life, my light, beauty alone to me. May we say with this psalm, verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. Amen.